At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Unless we change, turn, the ESV says, unless we turn, unless we change and become like children, we will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So these are serious, big, important words. This weekend marks the start of the school holidays. Anyone excited about that? Spot the teachers or the pupils among us. Anyone a bit nervous about those extra 30 weeks of entertainment that you have to provide the children in your house? 30 hours a week, sorry. That'd be a good holiday, Iona, right? You'd like that holiday. 30 hours a week. Anyone nervous, feeling nervous about that? Yeah, a few folks, especially in light of that family. There's everyone has at least one family that they know who post the stuff on Facebook of the ridiculously fun excursions that they take every day that make all the other parents feel guilty, or at least me, anyway, that's for sure. Anyone couldn't care less about the summer holidays because they're pretty much working the whole time anyway? Yeah. few hands up there as well. Well, summer holidays, whether we like it or not, are quite a particular cultural moment. Even if you don't have any strong connection to children in school, life changes a little bit over the summer. So, you know, even if you are in work over these next 6 weeks, the likelihood is that a lot of your colleagues will be away on holiday, so the pace of the office will likely slow down a little bit. Or even just, for example, around here in the church, lots of things kind of pause for the summertime, making a bit of a quieter season. So I just thought it would be a timely moment for us to reflect on this topic. We have been looking at various different prayers in the Bible and trying to understand what can we learn from some of the prayers that we come across in the scriptures. Well, here we don't hear a particular prayer, but there is plenty for us to learn regarding how we are to come before God, how we are to bring our whole selves, our thoughts, our words, our emotions to God, how we are to conceive of life with God. Because Jesus himself said, right, again, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So his disciples were wanting to know, what did power look like? That was the context. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And who's the most impressive? And Jesus calls a little boy and says, be like him. In fact, he says more than that. He says, if you want to know life in God's kingdom, harmony, peace, goodness, fellowship, closeness with God, things the way they should be, then you have to do that. You have to turn. Unless you turn, unless you change, then you're not going to know life with God in this beautiful kingdom of God, which Matthew has been laying out up until this point. And also, Jesus assumes that this is not going to be a straightforward process. Unless you change, Jesus says, unless you turn, then he's saying that this is not going to be easy. There is a movement to be made. There is a change to be made to embrace this ideal to which he's pointing. There's movement required. We talk a lot in Hillview and in Kintore about the blessing that it is for us to have children around. It's one of the things that we mention almost every week, how we want them to feel valued among us and welcome among us. We have this unwritten no shush policy that we don't want to shush our kids, says he who's a total hypocrite, because I just shushed Jacob a wee while ago, but I'm working on it. We want our children to feel welcomed. But this passage underlines that we don't just make space for children so that they'll feel valued or so that they'll feel welcomed, but we must make space for children because we have to learn something from them. They have something to teach us. Unless we change and become like children, we're never going to know this beautiful life with God. So what are children like? That's the question. Jesus says, unless you become like a child, you can't know this life with me. So we should know and ponder, what are children like? What do we need to turn towards? What change are we looking to need to make? So I thought it'd be good to think about that at the start of this summer period. First thing is this, children are full of joy. Now, of course, all of these, right? All of these are generalizations. No two children are the same. And not all children, tragically, are cared for and nurtured to the place where they can bring about some of these traits that we might naturally identify as traits that should belong to children, such as this one. I don't think it's particularly controversial to say that children, given the right context, children naturally incline towards expressing joy. Now, Christians are awful good at talking about joy. And we love to talk about how joy manifests itself in a number of different ways. And there's a deep truth that we'll get to about that in just a moment. But sometimes, if we are honest, that thread of reasoning can actually just be a handy excuse for us if we're feeling in a particularly miserable or grumpy place. Oh, well, joy expresses itself in lots of ways, Martin. Well, that's true. But when you think about children, and when you think about the joy that children have, what are some of the images that come to mind or noises that come to mind? Smiles on faces, laughter and fun and games, a desire for fun, a desire for connection and surprise and joy that bubbles up. When we think about joy that children have in the right context, we're talking about joy that reaches your face. That's the kind of joy that we are speaking about this morning. And I just wonder, could we pray for that more in our church? For joy that reaches the face. Some of you are showing me that joy, and some of you aren't just now. I'm just looking broadly across all of you so you don't feel got at. Joy that reaches the face. Maybe we could pray over this summer period for an increasing laughter among us. I have to tell you, there has been some laughter in our church community in the last week, within the last 7 days, because last week at Kintor, something happened. And some of you who are laughing know what happened. I'm not going to say what happened in the service at Kintor. You can come and ask me or someone later on. But at least half of those present in the service at Kintore Community Church were absolutely done for in laughter for a significant chunk of the time of worship in that service. I was soaked in tears from laughing so hard at something that happened at Kintore Community Church last week. I actually woke up at about 4 a.m. on Monday morning, literally laughing out loud, giggling to myself in the middle of the night as I reflected on what had happened at Kintore Community Church the day before. I'm not going to say what it is, but just ask Colin Ross, and I'm going to move on. So, but it did something to me. It changed me. We were a bunch of us were messaging each other for the next 24, 36, 48 hours, talking about how happy we felt. And it's easy to brush some of that off, but it affected me. And I'm sure the psychologists among us or the medics among us could tell me why it did change me in some way. But it struck me. It had been a long time since I'd laughed like that. And it genuinely changed something within me. And I thought to myself, I need to do that more. I mean, all of us can type in H-A-H-A, right? We can all type in ha-ha or lol. Or if you're feeling particularly passive-aggressive and you want the conversation to stop, ha. That's the one that always kills me. Just H-A, and especially if there's no exclamation mark, it's just like, ugh! Just kills me. So if you want to know how to upset your pastor, and you know, if I'm trying to be all jaunty in a text message, just write ha, and that'll just bring me down a peg or two. Laughter, true laughter is a gift from God. which changes us. And it carries us as well through some hard times. This is serious. I spoke to one family recently who have spoken of how laughter, how a sense of humor has carried them through some of the hardest times imaginable. There is such power in laughter. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. You shall laugh. Dear friends, his kingdom is coming. His kingdom is breaking in. And as that happens, I believe laughter will rise among us. I have been in some charismatic gatherings where a wave of laughter, holy laughter, has washed over the gathering. And people are caught up in the joy of God. It's the kingdom of God breaking in. You who are mourning now, laughter will come. May it be among us, right? May we laugh. May we become like little children. Children laugh. And secondly, children cry. Children know they need help in times of difficulty. Is there a more endearing image to behold than a child that reaches out for help or love or assurance or protection in a great time of need? Such a beautiful picture. I see this here week by week, the way kids run to their mums and dads for love and comfort after that scary moment of me trying to say hi to them. You watch, it happens with all the children here. They all hate me. I consistently freak every single kid out, and they run to the place of protection, the place of safety. But it's just so beautiful the way a child runs into a parent's arms. Children regularly know they need help. We saw laughter and this knowledge of needing of protection. We saw this, or we heard it yesterday in our street. We were just listen, it's quite unusual for us to hear children run down our street. And there was these two girls running down full of laughter and full of joy. And then very quickly it changed. One of them had fallen. And before you knew it, they had turned direction and they were crying. They were going back. Laughter and joy, and they were going back home to the place of protection, the place of care. You see, assuming a healthy and safe environment for kids, it's a natural thing for them to reach out when they are in trouble and to feel safe. There's a brilliant book called A Praying Life by Paul Miller. And in that book, he writes this: both the child and the cynic walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The cynic focuses on the darkness. The child focuses on the shepherd. Child naturally focuses just on that need for protection, need for care. Now, all of us wonder at the darkness and ponder the reality of darkness in the world, not just the cynics among us. It's entirely natural for us to grow up, and as that happens, for us to ponder the nature of the darkness and be encouraged, if that's you right now, because there are entire books of the Bible, Ecclesiastes, Job, Proverbs, the Psalms, entire books which at least huge chunks of them are given over and absolutely saturated with reflections about and yearnings related to this nature of suffering and what it means. But through the darkness, our focus should not be mainly on the darkness. Yes, we struggle with that. Yes, we wrestle with that. But our focus should be on the shepherd, on finding help. And dear friends, may we never lose that childlike impulse to reach out for help and to find God, even in the struggle and heartache of questions unanswered. C.S. Lewis, in his book, A Grief Observed, was identifying all the different questions that were bubbling up in him as he reflected on the death of his wife. And this is what he wrote. He says, "When I lay these questions of grief, before God, I get no answer, but a rather special sort of no answer. It is not the locked door. It is more like a silent, certainly not uncompassionate gaze, as though
He shook his head, not in refusal, but waving the question like, "Peace, child, you don't understand." Children are okay with that. Children don't always need to understand. They just need to reach out and to be loved. Henri Nouwen, in his testimonial book, Beyond the Mirror, he speaks of an intense encounter with God he had in a near-death experience. Listen to what he writes. "I felt God's presence in a most tangible way, as if my whole life had come together and I was being enfolded in love. The homecoming had a real quality of return, a return to the womb of God, the God who had fashioned me in secret and molded me in the depths of the earth, the God who had knitted me together in my mother's womb, was calling me back after a long journey and wanted to receive me back as someone who had become child enough to be loved as a child." Our culture beats that out of us over the years. May we be like children, reaching out to find help in our time of need. May we become child enough to be loved as a child. And then finally, children are humble. Unless we change and become like children, we'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, I've spoken about joy and I've spoken about sorrow, but there's one particular example and thing that Jesus points to here's one specific attribute that he points to, verse 4. He goes on straight after that to say, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." We need to humble ourselves. This, Jesus says, is what true greatness is. It's what it says in James chapter 4, "Humble yourselves before the Lord." And that's greatness, and because he will, in that moment, exalt you. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is what Jesus embodied on the cross that we've been reflecting about. Jesus humbling himself, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and then he sat down triumphant at the right hand of the throne of God. It's what we've been singing about in that solo earlier, "Your scar-borne hands, Jesus, we'll join with them, serving at the table you've prepared." Jesus truly is our servant king. And I think there's something in all of us, every single human being, that knows the power of this. From Forrest Gump to Finding Dory. Think of how many stories love to paint this beautiful picture of the weak being exalted. Think of some of the most beloved figures of history: Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King Jr., Desmond Doss, Eric Liddell. The humble, exalted. There's incredible power in these stories. This resonates deep in our hearts. It's how we were always meant to live, because we were made in God's image. And humble, self-giving, love for others is right at the center of the core of who God is. And it should be the same with us. That is what Jesus is pointing us to here. So let me tell you, when we established Equip, one of the things we asked every participant of Equip to think through was one person that they could mentor and one person that they could be mentored by. And it was a lovely process, and it was worth reflecting on a little bit what came to light there. But one of the things that did come to light was that there were a few folk in our fellowship who people requested as mentors more than anyone else. And I shared that with those few individuals for their encouragement. And the consistent response back was complete surprise that people had asked for them to be their mentor. "I was really surprised," one of them said. And I thought, well, that's exactly why so many people have chosen you to be their mentor, have sought you to be their mentor, because there's a humility there. Think for a moment of the most godly, holy, lovely, kind people you know. More often than not, they're humble people. Childlike, like little children. Brothers and sisters, may we be like little children, full of laughter and joy, ready to reach out in need, and may we be humble, serving with Jesus, laying down our lives with Jesus, sharing in his true greatness. And then may we see that kingdom life spread among us, through us, to the people we love and are in relationship with. Let's just bow our hearts now. And just ask yourself, just in the quiet, what does it mean for you to turn, to change, and become more childlike? To live rightly before God and before one another in this beautiful, inbreaking kingdom of God. What posture do you need to adapt more and more? Father in heaven, I pray now that by your Spirit, you'd guide us, you'd lead us into truth. Father in heaven, we lay our lives before you. Humble us and lift us up. Lift us into your arms. Help us know the lovely embrace of Father God. We need you, God. We come to you now.